Hey everybody, welcome back to another new episode of Between the Horns. It is June 6th, Wednesday, about 1:20 Pacific time here in sunny Thousand Oaks, California. Why are you worried about
I'm worried about you today, Miles.
I haven't even said, I'm Miles Simmons.
Training camp.
You're DeMarco Farr.
That's Miles Simmons. Welcome. He needs training camp. He needs to hit somebody.
Welcome back to the podcast. Do I need to hit somebody?
What's going on with you? What's happening? Your new diet, isn't it?
My new diet.
You're losing weight. You're starting to get all buffed out. Now you...
I was off the diet over the course of the weekend.
Is that what it is?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, you're guilty.
No, I don't think so. I'm back on it now. So maybe that's what it is.
Okay, like all right.
I'm feeling a little under the weather. My throat's a little
You remind
scratchy.
Me of like a bodybuilder right before a competition. They always get crabby.
Because
their
crabby?
Diet. Yeah, they don't eat. They don't drink any water.
I think
it's just bad.
I'm just a crabby person in general.
You are not a crabby person. Something is going on. Anyway, what's
maybe,
going on?
Maybe. A lot has been going on the field here. We are now through 9 of 10 OTAs. Minicamp next week. And then, obviously, the Rams will get their summer break. The real off-season period for the NFL, I think, is this 6 weeks, you know, that they've got between end of minicamp and beginning of training camp.
Next week, it has that word that we all hate as athletes.
What's
mandatory.
Ooh,
you
yeah.
have to be here.
Yes.
So that's really when work begins. I guess, I mean, that could be considered your new year. If
in
you really want
ways.
I know there's a league year, but I mean when everything starts to become mandatory and you have to be here,
right.
that's really when you get to work.
Right.
Yeah, vacation is over.
Vacation is over.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean you have those 3 days and then you do get to go on vacation, is I think.
Kinda. I mean that's what I love about minicamp or used to love about minicamp. It was a great litmus test for you to see where you are athletically.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in shape and you can handle what they throw at you at minicamp, then you can take some vacations
sure.
before training camp. If you're gassed at minicamp, you're working
right.
until camp. That's just
right.
the way it goes.
Right. And that's something that Sean McVay kind of said, you know, that the mini camp is a time that they can sort of mimic what a training camp day might be like a
mm-hmm.
little bit because they're going to have the walkthrough in the morning and then you'll be able to go through practice later on in the afternoon. And so I think what you said about it being a litmus test is exactly
yeah.
right.
And
if you're gassed, you know.
Yeah, you have to coordinate schedules at home too. I mean,
oh,
you
yeah.
get a little bit of what it's going to be like in training camp, as in I'm not going to be here.
Yes.
Yeah, most of my days are going to be spent out here.
Yes.
And when you do see me, it's going to be face down on the bed. I'm going to be asleep. I'm going to be tired. So that's just the way it is. I'm glad you have a chance to at least get acclimated before you go into training camp. I love mini camps. I love OTAs. This is where the real work begins to me, if you ask me.
All right, so what are your impressions so far from the practices you've seen of these guys?
You know, I mean, we're still looking at the key areas. I think, like on defense, I think where you're going to be exceptional out at corner in the middle,
yeah.
think those guys are going to be exceptional. We're still trying to figure out around that. Offensively, I think the biggest thing is you're taking a step forward with an offense that you already know. So you're perfecting and adding. So whatever plays, however many plays you know, you can guarantee, or that is a guarantee come game day, plus you can add more. So that's how offenses go from, you know, point A to point B. And I was just telling Torrey Holt, who's here, my old teammate, when we won the Super Bowl, when our offense, the greatest show on turf, took flight, we didn't give the NFL an offseason to catch up. We finished you off that year. So there's going to be a little bit of coming back to earth for the offense because everyone has a chance to see what you're about an entire offseason, but you also have a chance to improve upon what you've done. So that's what I see. I see an offense that's improving, ever improving, and just getting better at the little things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we have had a chance to do a podcast since OTAs began.
Yeah.
But I remember we were out here day one, and I remember turning to you and being like, this offense does not look like it's day one.
No.
of OTAs,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that, I think, has made a significant difference just because, A, it wasn't day one for this offense going in. I mean, look, this is really one of the first times since I've been covering this team that the same offensive coordinator is the first time since I've been covering
yeah,
this team
it is.
Now that I think about it,
yeah.
that the same offensive
name
coordinator.
Him. Can you name him?
Brian Schottenheimer,
Shoddy,
Frank Cignetti,
Sig,
Rob Boris, Sean McVay now
wow.
for the last two seasons.
Wow.
So, yes, it's
yeah.
the first time that the same offensive coordinator or offensive play caller has been the same for the minicamp in two straight years.
You're Alex Smith.
You
are Alex Smith. Yeah, you've been through several coordinators. Now
yes.
there's some continuity. So,
right.
Yeah, look, it's not hard to get better as a football team. Continuity is one of them. But that's the one thing as players and coaches you can't control.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you can control it is by doing what they did last season. 11 wins, make the playoffs, win the division.
Yes.
That's how you guarantee some continuity. But, I mean, this league is all about change. You know that.
It is, absolutely. And there has been some change, especially on defense. But if you just look at that offense, and this is what players have been talking about the last couple of weeks. You know, after we saw that things looked sharp on day one, they still looked sharp on day two. And as they've been going through it, it has continued. They've basically been saying, look, that's what we wanted. We wanted to be able to come back to the field and make it look like we really hadn't missed a beat. And
nice.
So over the course of the offseason, you had Jared Goff getting guys together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, down here in Southern California, this is a place where people want to stay for the offseason. So that's what Cooper Kupp was saying. Look, like, they were practicing. They were going to a high school maybe 2 to 3 times a week sometimes and just throwing.
Outstanding.
Getting routes done.
Wow.
And then Brandon Cooks got incorporated into that as well once he was here, and that trade happened at the beginning of April. And I think those kinds of things, those little things, they're making a big difference. Now, everybody's been seeing it on Twitter, I'm sure. You get Jared Goff to Brandon Cooks on the field all the time.
You know,
deep balls are working.
I was going to say this, man. You know how shocked we are when Aaron Donald makes a play in a football game?
We're not.
We're not shocked. Well, get ready for that with Cooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I see on Twitter these videos of Brandon Cooks going deep, catching touchdowns in practice, well, get used to that. The guy is that good.
Yes.
When they were talking about it was between Cooks and the other guy in New York with the blonde hair.
Yes.
We had this discussion.
Yes, we did.
If you had to pick one or the other, I said one is slightly more recoverable than the other. Slightly. But they're both dynamic.
They are.
They both can get open. I think you're starting to see that now. He is so fast, so quick, and so polished at pretty much everything he does. There's no way he can't help this offense.
Absolutely. And I've been writing about this.
I told you, man, you need to eat.
I don't know what it is, man. I think, like,
do you
I told
have a granola bar or something back there? Some beef jerky?
My throat is kind of scratchy.
My goodness.
That's what I think it is, and I'm just kind of off my game.
Protein shake.
Maybe this has something to do with it, too. I was at the Maroon 5 concert last night at the Forum.
Were you on stage?
No. But I will say this.
Yeah.
The lady in front of me turned around because I know all the words to every Maroon 5 song.
So you were singing with Adam Levine?
I was singing
you
with Adam Levine.
You can't do that at a concert, Miles.
Well, the lady in front of me told me I have a really nice singing voice, so
that's,
maybe I
that's
can.
Her way of saying, please pipe down. I want to hear Adam sing. That guy, Miles.
I am always that guy.
Were you wearing a Maroon 5 t-shirt, too?
I don't have any Maroon 5 t-shirts.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think you were singing too loud.
I probably was.
How was the show?
The show was pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I saw Maroon 5 as we have totally derailed this.
That's
now.
All right. Go ahead.
Nah, we'll get back to football, I promise.
Yes.
I saw Maroon 5 last year at the Dodgers Diamond Blue Gala, whatever they have.
Were they better then?
Yes.
Oh,
they,
okay.
They played all the real hits at that show.
What did they play last night?
Last night they played. So I like the Maroon 5 songs that accentuate the band.
Okay.
Right? Like, that's a really good band, but they played the songs like Cold, Don't Want to Know, which are basically kind of like almost something you could have made on your keyboard that you had when you were a little kid.
Okay.
And, like, Adam Levine, I think, is one of the best singing voices of any male vocalist that's out right now. And, like, when he's got to overcompensate for the fact that the band isn't really playing, that to me is when the band seems off.
Okay, all right.
But I love Maroon 5. Like, it's one of my favorite bands, and so, yeah.
That's cool.
Good show.
You're a fan, so you could say it was pretty good. You've
yeah.
seen them before.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
Worth going to.
Yeah, I don't know about, like, made on a keyboard, though. That's kind of insulting.
It was probably a little bit
I would say
insulting.
I'm sorry to them.
I'm sorry, Maroon 5.
Because they're
right.
a lot. They're around here somewhere. Weren't they just at the Forum?
Yeah.
I don't think they've left the state
they
yet.
They are from L.A., too, so they could be Rams fans. Who knows if they're
Miles. Right here.
Anyway, but yes, the offense for the Rams has taken some good strides, some significant strides. And actually, one thing that I really thought was interesting, Serena Morales, our new team reporter, and Cooper Kupp were just sitting in these chairs. And one thing Serena asked Kupp about was Jared Goff's growth as a leader, growth and development on and off the field. And what Cooper Kupp was saying was, you know, people keep talking about, oh, you see Jared growing as a leader. You see this, you see that. And Kupp said, you know, we need to just start calling it what it is. Jared Goff is the leader of this offense.
Hmm.
And I think that coming from him is pretty significant.
Big time, man. I mean, that to me is when you're really clicking on all cylinders, when your quarterback is the guy.
Yeah.
Is the guy everybody looks to. Everybody, the guy that everyone wants to be. And he works harder than anyone. He's here early and he leaves late. When you have that sort of guy at quarterback, now it can be done the other way. It could be done with a guy that leaves early or is not the best practice player. It can be. I would say
not the best practice player, but if you're not a quarterback that puts in all the time in the world that it needs to be, I don't know how you can be successful in this league.
Well, some guys just don't have that ability.
Okay, fair.
But the rest of the team is just great, and all he does is just not mess it up.
Fair.
But when your guy is great, a Pro Bowler, and he's outworking everybody on the football team, and he is that guy and the leader, that to me is what everybody wants in the National Football League. That to me is what every football team wants, regardless of level.
Right. Well, that's why you go up and you draft this guy number one overall. So because you see that kind of potential in him.
Right.
And now I think having taken the strides where you go 28 touchdowns, 7 interceptions last season, you lead your team to an 11-4 record in the regular season and a division title. Now, whatever that next step is for Jared Goff, it absolutely should be, okay, he is a leader of this team. And to hear Cooper Kupp say that, I think, especially after, you know, the way things have gone for Jared Goff up to this point in his career, going all the way back to 2016, that's significant to me.
Big time, yeah. I mean, I think, look, he has a chance to be special. There's a lot of potential there, a lot of room to grow. That's why he was drafted where he was drafted. And I think you're starting to see him. What you saw last season was him taking a step forward. Now there's more there. And this goes back to what we were talking about. Yeah. When you have someone at quarterback that has a chance to be special, not just a guy. Some quarterbacks, if they're playing about as well as they can play, they're just going to be average. Does that make sense?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, that's just the way God made them. But, I mean, with guys like Goff, I mean, the sky's the limit. And if you keep putting good teams around them and he's a leader and he keeps getting better, I mean, you're talking about being one of the elite quarterbacks and one of the elite teams.
Well, you don't only have that, but you also have a great coaching staff around him in place. I think Sean McVay.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
Right, exactly. Sean McVay, we all know, is one of the best offensive bright minds in football right now. And then I think you also have continuity. And the fact that, you know, going into this season, basically you're going to have one new starter as it stands right now on offense in the entire unit, right?
And that would be Brandon Cooks. And I like the sub.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you can say you arguably got better at that position, right? I mean, I don't mean that as a knock.
I don't know what Sammy's going to do. He might turn it out. But, I mean, they both have ability. But if I could pick between the two, I'd probably pick Cooks first.
Well, right. And I think, and I don't mean that as a knock on Sammy Watkins and his ability. But I think just from the standpoint of, Brandon Cooks is a guy that's had at least 1,000 yards and at least 7 touchdowns receiving in the last 3 seasons.
Hey, that's Malcolm Brown, by the way. Hi, Malcolm. What's up, man? Just had to say hi. Interrupt the podcast. You can't walk by with food and not offer, man. Sorry about that. I just saw food.
This is what happens when we're outside and Marco is just going to get distracted.
Well, I just say he had a big piece of meat on a fork and didn't offer me any, man. That's not cool.
I thought you were eating meat anymore.
Well, I mean, he could at least offer. let me at least say no.
One other position that I do want to go over a little bit on offense is the tight end position.
Yeah.
Because
I'm intrigued.
I am too.
Yeah.
One of the things McVay has continued to talk about over the course of the offseason is that they want to get more out of that position, and to do it, they want to go into different personnel groupings a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some of that out on the field during OTAs, a little bit more 12 personnel with one running back, two tight ends. And
it's the worst offense for a defense.
Why?
Two tight ends. Because it's balanced. I don't know which way you're going until the ball is snapped, until the ball is gone. And when you got a running back like Todd Gurley, you lost.
Right.
Yeah, so if you can run and be effective out of 12, I mean, when you get a lead, that's what you want to go into. Mm. When you have a lead in the football game, you want to go into 12 and just pound them.
Right.
Absolutely pound them because you'll be a step ahead. But anyway, I'm sorry.
No, I think that's you're going to basically the point that I want to make. Like, look, they want to be able to get more out of that.
Yeah.
And that means they want to get more out of the tight ends.
True.
So that you can definitely play two of them at the same time.
Do you remember the old run and shoot offense?
Yeah.
Way back when it took over the league. And a lot of teams went to that. Like a lot of college teams go to the spread.
Right.
The problem with the spread right now is when you have the lead, you can't get out of spread.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you do. Mm-hmm. Well, in the pros, it'd be nice. You have these high-flying offenses. But when you do have the lead and the clock is not your friend and you want to salt the game away, you need to be able to play football out of 12 personnel and be effective out of 12. With the exception of a few teams with great quarterbacks, most of those playoff teams play really well out of 12 personnel.
Hmm.
Yeah, and you may not have stars at tight end, but you have credible guys that can block and catch.
Well, I just think about the Patriots and what they were able to do with Bennett and Gronk you know, being on two different sides. And like that was sort of the idea with that. And then Gronk got hurt. And
right.
When the Patriots have two tight ends that are very, very effective, they're doing exactly what you're talking about. Then they can salt the game away.
Absolutely.
Because they have that kind of balance.
And wear you out, absolutely put the pressure back on the other side, and they have a quarterback that's not going to make a mistake. So I think the same mold, the same model can work here.
Sure.
Except you have a special running back that can also, you know, pound the daylights out of you. So it's the same philosophy with just, you know, a little more emphasis at a different spot.
Right. And what's interesting to me about this offense, too, is that there has been so much talk about Brandon Cooks and mm-hmm. what he adds as a receiver. And then I don't want to, like, speak too far out of turn, but I really do feel like with Cooks, with Woods, with Kupp, if they all stay healthy, that could be one of the most dynamic trios of wide receivers in the league.
I'm still trying to figure out how you cover it. And I know we had a lot of fun with Sue and Donald and how you block it. And I still haven't come up with a way to block those two guys.
But Michael Brockers. Too.
Plus Brockers. But just in the middle, when you've got those two flanking the center, which way do you send that guy?
You've got
issues. Same thing with this receiving core. I mean, Woods is smooth. Cooper Kupp is letter perfect in routes, and Brandon Cooks can outrun just about anybody.
Yeah.
So you've got your choice, and a quarterback that can get the ball there, and an evil genius in Sean McVay that can design plays.
Right.
It could be just as dynamic as those two guys in the middle.
Yes.
Just as much of a nightmare as those two guys in the middle.
Especially because you have the dynamic running back in Todd Gurley, who it's almost like in some ways he gets lost in all of this.
Scary.
Because there's so much else that's gone on with this team. I mean, Todd Gurley had an argument to be the MVP of the league last year. And so when you add somebody with proven production like a Brandon Cooks to this offense, man, you see, look, Todd Gurley can take even more steps.
Big time.
In this next
season. I think that talks to you and 12 personnel, because there'll be a time probably coming up this season very shortly where he won't disappear or won't get hidden, because once you do have a lead, you feature Todd out of 12, and you wear them out. And it's not just wearing them out. He can actually score from anywhere.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, so, I mean, what you're building here is, if you keep going in the right direction, you're building one of the elite offenses in the National Football League. And that's funny when you talk about what is also on the other side of the ball.
Yes.
Yeah, so as long as Jared Goff continues to grow and they continue to push the envelope here in practice and in the locker room, gelling together, training camp is going to be a breeze. And then you're right into preseason.
It should be. You brought this up earlier. Torrey Holt, your old teammate, is around
Big
this
game.
Week. And I know you guys had a chance to kind of talk during practice. I don't want to get too personal, whatever
Don't worry.
Saying.
I won't.
I know you.
Yeah.
Know, but what were his...
I'm a good teammate.
I know. But what have been his impressions of just being out here?
You know, the first guy he mentioned was actually Josh Reynolds. And I'm glad he mentioned him. And he's a kid that has so much room for growth, kind of like Jared Goff. There's so much more there. I mean, he's just barely scratching the surface. Now, he didn't make the Pro Bowl like Goff did, but I think we saw enough of Gerald Reynolds, Josh Reynolds, to say we want to see more.
Yes.
Now, where is he fit in the offense? I don't know. But as far as potential, wow, there's a lot there. Now, that's what that's what we were talking about when you walked over.
Yeah.
Torrey's game wasn't flashy. It was very consistent and very fundamentally sound. Now, if you can get a guy like Josh Reynolds there to where you're just consistent, and then when you have a chance to actually take a game over, you can do it because you have that ability. But you have to remain viable for four quarters.
Yes.
There has to be a spot for you on the field at all times, like a Larry Fitzgerald. Everything he does, there's no wasted motion. And he's viable from the 10 out to 10 in.
Right.
Everywhere on the field.
Yes.
So if you can get a guy like Reynolds there, you've got something special. But the other guy loves.
Yes.
He loves. I mean, Brandon Cooks, the speed coming out of the breaks, the catching, the attention, the detail, that stuff catches Torrey's eye. And when it catches his eye, of course, he's going to filter that down to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. It's interesting what you said about Reynolds. So our Kristen Lago also had a chance to talk to Josh Reynolds today, and she told me that what he was saying is that he wants to prove that, you know, even though he's got the size, you know, the 6'3" frame, that's what everybody's going to talk about when they see him, because you think of him as probably that red zone threat, right? But he wants to prove that he's more than that. And I think he has that kind of skill set. What is going to be interesting is, how does he get on the field to show it, you know?
When and how? Well, I mean,
because like I said, I mean, look, you've got Brandon Cooks, you've got Robert Woods, you've got Cooper Kupp. That's your top three, and it should be.
Yeah. There's going to be reps out there. I mean, no one can play every single rep.
Right.
He's going to have an opportunity. And the first thing you said was if everyone stays healthy.
Yes.
Yeah, there's going to be opportunities. But, I mean, when you get those opportunities, it's not just about being a red zone guy or a deep threat guy.
Right.
You've got to be an everything guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do what they ask you to do when they ask you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no coming from Josh Reynolds.
Right.
Yeah, I need you to do this. Absolutely. I need you to do that. Sure, coach. That's just the way it goes.
It's interesting to me right now. The Rams seem pretty settled at wide receiver, mm-hmm. just when you kind of look up and down that roster. Yes, of course, anybody, if there's competition, especially once there gets to be pads on, then somebody's going to have a chance to break into that. But right now, it seems like the Rams are pretty settled into having Woods, Cooks, Kupp, Reynolds, Cooper, Mike Thomas.
Who's your tight end?
Your tight end. Well, you're going to have more than one. You've got Gerald Everett,
yeah.
Tyler Higbee, Tamarack Hemingway.
That's the guy I can't wait to see.
Tamarack Hemingway?
I can't wait to see him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I spoke to him yesterday and wrote a story on him. It's on therams.com now. He is such an intriguing prospect to mm-hmm. me because of the size.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You know? Speed.
Listen, yeah. The speed and all of that. He's a guy that I remember Sean McVay talking about sort of in the OTA stages, in the training camp stages, of saying like, hey, we got plans for this guy.
Yes.
And then the unfortunate injury happens. You know, he told me like when he got hurt against the Chargers in that third preseason game, and I went back and watched it. That's pretty grisly. Looking thing.
It'll turn your stomach.
Yeah. He got rolled up on.
Let's not go.
I mean, he said he heard a crack, and the only thing that he was thinking was,
I could hear the crack.
Well, you were on the sideline.
Yeah.
I was not. But he said, you know, I'm thinking, man, I hope this is not a career-ending injury.
Wow.
And so what he was saying is that, you know, it gave him a different perspective,
mm-hmm.
having to sit on the sidelines, having to watch games on television of, A, you know, how much the game means to him,
mm-hmm.
and B, just when you get to sit and watch and you're not in it like that all the time, you start to see things a little bit differently just as a football player. So now he really is looking forward to bringing that kind of stuff to the field.
I don't think there's anything worse in sports than being like on IR on a football team, because it's like you don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You see the trainers, they love you, but everyone else is busy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a move. You know, what did Joe Thomas write in the MMQB, I think it was?
Yeah.
Move the drill.
Move the drill. Yeah. That's what happens.
And that's, yeah.
Move it up 10 yards when you get hurt. That's just the way it is. But I can't wait. It's like with him, with a guy that big at that position, it's your football coach, your offensive coordinator becomes a basketball coach. You can go big, you can go small.
Right.
You can change up. I mean, I can't wait to see the different personnel groups with that guy on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Cover that. Okay, you've got Coops, you got Brandon Cooks out there, you've got, let's say, Cooper Kupp, and then him.
Right.
Okay, and Todd Gurley in the backfield.
Right.
Cover that. And a passing down. Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. There's just a lot more for the defense to have to worry about. Not only is it scheme, now it's size that you have to worry about.
Right.
So that guy, that ability, I was really sad for him when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Sad for the football team, too.
Well, I think there's another injury we should bring up, kind of speaking of the season-ending injuries, and that's Morgan Fox.
Yeah.
And this one, like, yeah.
I'm blaming you for that.
Well,
you know why I'm blaming you?
Because the last time we did a podcast, he was the guy we were talking about talking up.
Remember when I had you go bang on wood? Remember?
Oh,
yeah. That was the same day, Miles.
Was that the same day?
That was the same day. I'm blaming you.
Wow.
Yes. See? Don't put that out there in the universe.
You're right.
Yeah, they're listening. Anyway, Morgan Fox, but go ahead.
I think it's especially unfortunate because, you know, right now he had been lining up with the ones at outside linebacker, and he was flashing. And he's a guy that, since we started seeing him as an undrafted rookie back in 2016,
I mean, you
even think about that Minnesota preseason game where he had, what, 3 sacks in the first half. You've known that he's got some kind of potential, and I think moving him to outside linebacker opposite somebody like Samson Ebukam and playing with guys like Brockers, Donald, Sue.
It'll make you better.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll make you better.
And so it's just one of those where you're like, man, gosh darn it. You know?
I remember talking to him when he first came to the football team, watching him work, and he didn't really ask me, but he asked me, like, what's the difference between me and everyone else in the league? And all I said was reps. All you need is reps.
Hmm.
You need to be at one spot and just keep repping it. I mean, you've got the passion. You want to be good. That's half of
great.
It. That's half of it there. All you need is reps and time, and eventually you're going to be a guy in this league. And sure enough, he had a chance to be a guy, but that's just the way it goes. So now you got to find another one.
Yep.
Yeah, you have to get somebody else ready to go. That's just look, that could have happened in September.
Right.
Yeah, if it was going to happen, I'm glad it happened now.
Right,
yeah.
Because that means you do have a little bit more time at least to get somebody ready. Right now, that guy is Justin Lawler, who is a seventh-round pick out of SMU. And it's interesting because he's a guy that also has flashed a little bit, especially when he's gone back and kind of dropped back into coverage. He has a nose to kind of get his hands on the football. So it's not like it's just somebody in practice that, you know, the offense can say, oh, that guy. Nah,
right.
We got him. Like, that's not the case. So I think that's kind of a good sign maybe going into things a little bit.
Just knowing where to be, knowing what's in front of you. And, look, the coaching staff does a great job. And remember, Wade Phillips is also running this defense.
Yep.
So as much credit as we give Sean McVay for the offense, give Wade Phillips just as much credit for the defense.
Absolutely.
So he can get guys ready to play. Now, whether you're special or not, I mean, that's up to God, like we said. But as far as being an effective player in this defense, lining up at outside backer, I'm sure he can get him ready to play.
Yes.
Yeah, and be effective and drop to the right areas and break on the football and pursuit. Because, look, your first two steps are going to be for the defense, and then you just got to go play ball. You got to go find it, get through blocks, and get the guy on the ground.
I love that saying that because you bring that up a lot. First two steps are for the defense, and then it's just reacting. It's find ball, see ball, get ball, do whatever you got to do.
You got to beat somebody at some point in this league to make a play on defense.
Yeah.
Rarely are you going to be free to the football. So first you have to execute the defense that's called, or you'll put the defense – what do we call that? You'll violate the integrity of the defense, and then they win, right?
Yes.
So your first two steps are for the defense, and then after that, go find the ball.
Right.
If you can get it and bring it back to our side, great.
Yes.
If you can get it on the ground, that's job number one.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of outside linebacker, Samson Ebukam now is a guy that has kind of flipped sides. Last year, he was kind of backing up Connor Barwin, Sam's spot. Now he's playing more at will, basically where Robert Quinn was. So I talked to him last week, and what he was saying is that he likes it a little bit better maybe playing at will because he gets to rush the passer a little bit more. And I think that's one of his strengths. So he's another guy that I'm looking forward to seeing kind of grow in this year, because I think he can take a real significant step forward.
It's fun. I know some guys that played professional baseball in the American League side where they have the DH.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody wants to be a DH until you're the DH.
Because
now you got to hit.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you have to hit.
Yes,
you have to produce.
You have one job.
Well, Will, when you're rushing the passer, it's great. I mean, they're going to protect you on the run some. You're in that spot because you have a unique ability to get to the passer. But when it is an obvious passing down, they're expecting you to be there.
You got
to
go.
You got to win. You got to win that rush. So it's one thing to win the job. Now you got to go out there and win your one-on-ones.
Well, again, I think...
And you're going to have a lot of them with the other two guys in the middle.
That's what
I was
going
to say. The other three guys in the middle.
You're
going to have a ton of them.
You are going to have those opportunities to win those one-on-ones when you get out there because of the guys you're playing with. Look, I mean, you can't just say that Donald, Brockers, and Sue are just, like, guys, right?
No.
Somebody's going to be left in the one-on-one situation, and that, in theory, would be Samson Ebukam because he has the least amount of experience and because he has the least amount of sacks.
Well, you're going to have to prove it, yeah. I mean, the other way, every other football team is going to say, well, we're paying our left tackle a lot of money to block guys like you.
Yes.
Until you prove that you're more than just a guy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, look, Aaron Donald started from somewhere. Ndamukong Suh had to start from somewhere, and you build your resume. So the more reps you get, the more wins you have, the more that's going to change. But you would think from the outset, you're going to be the guy they single up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When looking at inside linebacker, were you surprised to learn that Corey Littleton is right now the signal caller?
No. When going back to when Alec Ogletree was traded, you start to look at what's left, and you think, who's going to be the middle? Who's going to call the signals? Who's going to be that guy? What's either going to be Barron or him?
Right.
Or who else is going to be? Bryce Hager is going to have a say in who lines up in the middle.
True.
But one of those three guys is going to have to be your true inside captain of the defense, quarterback of the defense type guy. So Corey Littleton's a guy that had a fantastic year. When they lined him up on defense, made plays. Special teams, he was all over the place.
Yeah.
So he's earned the right to become a starter. I don't know if he's going to wind up being that guy, but I'm sure he's going to put his best foot forward.
He said he's been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's been interesting for him is just getting to the point where he's more and more comfortable at speaking and, like, telling the defense to everybody.
See, that's...
he's a quiet guy by nature.
But see, that's part of it, and we have these discussions about athletes all the time. Quarterbacks, the same way. They're just quiet. They're not guys that are vocal. And
sure.
you may slide in the draft because of that, and, or guys may rise in the draft because they are vocal. But, I mean, you need to be an effective communicator. That is part of your job.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're going to have to come out of that shell at some point.
Yes.
Some guys don't like it. They just want to get the information and read and react. Well, now it's a little bit different. You're going to have to be the chess player as well as the piece.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to have to move people around and know more than just your position. You're going to have to know everything. That's mm-hmm. that's a big undertaking for a young guy.
Well, it's a big job, but and especially considering the fact that it's not something that he's ever really done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was saying in college, basically served as a defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, comes into the league kind of as an outside linebacker type. And then does really, really well on special teams, but we don't really see him much on defense until last year, where he's playing kind of that second inside linebacker role as a
yeah.
backup to Mark Barron.
Right.
Now, being at that spot versus being at Mike is a little bit different, especially because of the entire, you got to call the entire defense.
Right. Well, I mean, when we were having these fun discussions, when we heard that Sue was coming to town and how great this, and the corners,
yeah.
Peters and Tlaib, when they were coming to town and how great this defense can be, and then someone asked, okay, what could keep this defense from becoming great? My
right.
first thought was communication. If you start having breakdowns all over the field, it doesn't matter who you have.
Right.
If you can't get it, you know, a call or an adjustment adjusted all the way down the defense,
right.
then it does not matter.
Right.
They're going to keep moving the ball on you. So that's a key spot. I mean, that's no small matter. That's a big deal.
No, it is.
If you're turning over play calling duties and, you know, trusting the integrity of the defense to one guy, he's got to be able to do it. If not, you're going to have 11 guys doing 11 different things.
Right. We brought up the corners. So let's talk a little bit about the secondary, too, because I think it's hard not to be impressed, at least just with the way those guys look on the field. Even though they're not doing one-on-ones, they're not going in pads, they look like pros. And
yeah, yeah.
that all four of them that would be starters in the secondary, Peters, Tlaib, John Johnson, and LaMarcus Joyner.
You know, I'm going back, and I'm trying to remember when I've seen, you know, two great corners. I mean, when you had Janoris here and you had Tremaine Johnson, I mean, Tremaine was still on the rise then, so it wasn't really
yeah.
two great corners. They turned into two really good corners
yeah.
at different times, but I haven't seen two great corners on this one football team in a long time.
Right.
You know, it used to be, well, you have this guy and you can pick on the other one. I don't know who you pick on. I don't know
barrel.
Who you go after. I really
right.
don't. I don't
yeah.
know who you go after and with what route.
Right.
Yeah. What route can't they cover?
I don't
what
know.
Route aren't they good at?
Well, yeah. not only that, but then you have depth behind them, too. I think
that's
Mikel
the other Rowe thing.
Yeah. as a nickel corner is one of the best in the league
yeah.
at doing
Had
that.
Had a great year.
Yeah, tremendous year.
Yep.
It was funny, and I hope they wouldn't mind me sharing this. Like, one of the days of OTAs was one of the early ones, and I think Sean McVay called, like, some kind of screen play,
mm-hmm.
right? And so Mikel Roby Coleman's lined up in the slot. And obviously you're not tackling or anything, but Mikel Roby Coleman got to the spot exactly when
mm-hmm.
he needed to and exactly when you would expect him to based on the way he played last year. And
well,
so,
he better. He's not very big.
Well, right.
You better get there fast.
Exactly. But it was funny. McVay calls Mikel Roby Coleman over, and he's like, Roby, I just wanted to make sure you still got it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like it. He's testing people.
Yeah. It was
yeah.
a fun moment.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fun moment. But that, to me, I think kind of signals where this defense is,
yeah.
right? You know,
you're
if
pretty
you
good and you're deep.
Right.
Yeah. And then we haven't even talked about LaMarcus.
We haven't talked
yeah.
about him. Nobody really talks about Sam Shields either.
We do a lot. It's just where do you play him?
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. But as a depth
yeah.
piece, too.
Oh, my gosh,
like
yes.
Troy Hill, I think, has also made strides. Kevin Peterson picked
yeah.
off Jimmy Garoppolo twice.
There's
going to
be
game.
Some serious competition in that room.
A ton of competition.
Yeah. And guess who's smiling through all this?
Wait,
Bones
those?
Fossil.
Oh.
No. yeah. Whatever guy you don't use,
yeah.
great. I can use him. yeah. I
yes.
can use him for everything.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is also very true. With special teams, though, Greg Zuerlein has started kicking again.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he kicked
after
one
that,
over my head today.
Yeah.
Yeah. His
no.
way of saying hello.
I guess so.
Yeah. He doesn't speak. He just kicks.
Yeah,
I like that.
He doesn't
that.
Really
yeah.
speak.
Yeah. Hecker speaks.
Really, yeah.
And punts.
Yes.
Yeah. But Zuerlein just
kind
kicks.
Kind of the media
yeah.
Guy of that operation. But I think to see Greg Zuerlein kicking right now is
mm-hmm.
a really good sign. Yes, the Rams still do have Sam Ficken around right now, which is good because you don't, as McVay was saying, you don't want to put Greg Zuerlein in any position to have a setback.
True.
In May or June, right? The games start counting in September. Greg Zuerlein will work up to that point, and that'll be fine. But I think just to see him kick some balls off, you know, attempt some field goals in a non-pressure situation, to see him doing that, I think is a great sign.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think of it, theoretically, he has a chance to lead the league in points.
Yeah.
This offense is going to score. He's got the leg to nail it from just about anywhere.
Yep.
So he was a weapon. At one point, he was the only weapon for the football team. Not last season, previous seasons. He was the best weapon you
Bill
had.
Bill Belichick would say that there
well,
was
Johnny
a
Hecker,
weapon.
Your special teams.
Yes.
But, I mean,
yeah.
Now, I mean, when you get past the 50, you've got 3 points in your pocket.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different with this offense
it
now.
It is.
Yeah.
And Jared Goff said that many, many times mm-hmm. last year. You know, you want to be careful with the football, especially once – I mean, you want to be careful with the football at all times, but especially you don't want to take too many risks when you know you have
You've got three points
on the board,
yep.
basically from Greg Zuerlein.
And that really hamstrings you on the other side of the ball.
Yes.
Because you have to be honest with everything you do, because they can score from here traditionally, and they've got a pretty good field goal kicker.
Yes.
So you have to make the right calls on defense, which makes you a little tight.
You know, what's interesting, just thinking about...
Why do you keep looking at your watch, by the way?
Because you said...
You look down one more time, I'm going to jab you.
You said...
We don't look at our watches while we're working, Miles.
I don't need to tell the people what you said,
though. Jory will tell us when it's time. You just keep working.
Does Jory even know when it's time?
Of course he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
See?
Elizabeth
there
does.
We go.
All right, fine. So I'll stop looking at my watch.
Stop looking at your...
We're supposed to have
you just did it again.
Left, so
you just did
bad.
It again.
Anyway... I'm trying to bring this thing to a close so you can be out of here.
Why are we closing? We don't close. We just keep going.
So you can go pick up your child.
That's Corey Littleton right there.
Hey, Corey.
How you doing, sir? Call the defense for us real quick.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Just thinking about where this team is now in comparison to a year ago. All the unknowns we had going into 2017.
You know them now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The unknowns, I think, are pretty few. For this Rams team, just thinking about roster spots and
yeah.
thinking about, I don't know, potential starting roles.
Well, think about how last year this time we were talking about the right side of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Okay, and how those two guys have really come along. So the issues and the unknowns that we talk about now, okay, let's just assume they're going to get better. Well, where do you put the football team then?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the difference. That's why you're seeing a little more esprit de corps, a little pep in the step.
I think by this time, had the Rams traded Greg Robinson by this time last year, it was around this time.
Around, yeah, you were moving on. I know that.
Yes.
Andrew Whitworth was already introduced. Yes, by this time last year. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just mean from the standpoint, I mean, do you remember, like, he was playing right tackle at the beginning of
yeah.
all that, and then... Jamon Brown, I think, went in at right tackle, and then eventually they were just like, yeah, let's just do this the way that
right.
we thought we would do it back in 2015.
Right.
When they both of those guys first came in. And that worked out so mm-hmm. well. You have all of those guys starting the first 15 games.
You know, so, I mean, when you're trying to find an outside linebacker, trying to find an inside linebacker, I mean, they seem like issues now, but like we said, if your exceptional players are playing at the top of their game, then you can really, really overcome, I guess, guys that are learning their positions.
That is the truth.
Yeah, you can really overcome that. But, I mean, I think what's special about this football team is what's going on the other side of the ball and how much continuity they have there and how much of a jump you can get on everyone there, because you're still trying to figure out how to cover them last year. And guess what? They've gotten better. So they're going to throw some new stuff at you that you haven't seen.
Sean McVay is a big proponent of the self-scout. Okay, mm-hmm. What did we do well last year? What did I maybe do that made a tendency? They're going to do a lot of tendency breakers. I think they're going to do a lot of creative stuff. And we're going to see exactly what Sean McVay has in store once the season gets started.
This is funny.
Exciting.
I'm standing on the sidelines, and I'm watching, like, the play he calls and what it did to the defense. I want to punch him in the face. I do. Like, that was just mean, man. You know what I mean? Give him a chance.
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of that this year.
I bet. Yeah, absolutely.
With knowing the personnel, especially, you know, with the year under his belt as a head coach, this guy, I think, is really ready. I mean, he was coach of the year last year. Mm-hmm. What's next? And it's a guy that's so driven to succeed and driven to get better. I think it's going to be fun.
I don't think last year was good enough for him. I mean,
yeah,
of course, he's happy. He's proud of his football team, but that's not enough for him personally. That's the vibe I get.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wonder if a Lombardi would be enough.
I don't know.
I think he might be thinking more, like multiples.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good for us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Fun things to talk about.
And stop looking at your watch.
Ahead. I'm done looking at my watch. You know why?
If Sean McVay caught you looking at your watch, he'd fire you.
That will do it for this edition of Between the Horns. Everybody, thanks so much for tuning in. For DeMarco Farr, I am Miles Simmons. We will see you next time.